Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, here is a story. In 1987, a group of English dairy farmers with a mutual love for Africa had an outlandish idea. And this was the idea. They said to themselves, let's put some of our cows on a plane and send them to needy African families. And then they said, hey, let's send pregnant cows so that when they give birth, there'll be another animal to give away to a neighbour. It's not a bad idea, is it? But of course, you can see why a number of people thought they were, you know, a little bit loony, a little bit off the tree. But it actually worked. They did it, and it worked. And in fact, 22 years later, Send a Cow, that's the name of the organisation, Send a Cow, is now a major charity working in 9 African countries and lifting thousands of African families out of poverty every year. David Bragg was one of those daring farmers who hatched the original plan in 1987, and he joins us now. David, welcome to Open House.
Hi, thanks.
What an interesting idea. How on earth did you come up with it?
Well, I'm not sure that it was me that came up with it, but initially there was some farmers in Cornwall, Cornwall, Southwest UK, that raised some money, sent some dairy calves in memory of a nurse that was killed in a car crash in India. I was doing some volunteer work from Tear Fund at the time and suggested that Devon farmers could do something similar. And that idea went nowhere until another farmer from the Bristol area came back from a preaching tour in Nigeria with an idea to send dairy cows into Nigeria. And through the Tear Fund connection, we got together. Put some friends in on it, one of whom had actually farmed dairy cows, the European type. And you've got them in Australia, Holstein Friesians, Jerseys, Guernseys, those type of animals. He'd farmed them in Tanzania. And so he said, it'll work, let's give it a shot. And Nigeria decided not to be the right place. But then out of the blue, you could say God ordained, a development worker, a Ugandan development worker with the Church of Uganda, came to the Bristol area, made contact with Anthony Bush, that's the Bristol farmer, and said, we've got a project in Uganda that's already up and running, but we run out of money and we need some dairy cows. So an idea became a reality, and we put 26 dairy heifers onto an aeroplane and flew them into widows in Uganda.
How on earth do you throw cows onto an aeroplane?
Well, there are there's some pretty valuable stock being flown around the world all the time, and horse racing horses and those sort of things are often being flown. So we use the same people that were already up and running to shift really good quality stock around the world. So, you know, using a cargo aeroplane and using expertise and also making sure that stockmen flew with every particular load of cows, it was just something that happened, yeah.
Did you ever doubt that the idea would actually work, that maybe the cows would even, you know, arrive safely and in one piece and actually survive the ordeal?
Well, obviously there was risk involved, but it was risk that had been assessed by a couple of the farmers in our group actually flying to Uganda and seeing for themselves. Pre the Uganda Civil War, there had been a lot of what is known as exotics, that's the black and white and the Jersey and the Guernsey-type cows in Uganda, but many of them had been killed during the Civil War period. So it wasn't a completely new idea, but it was farmers reinventing something that had already been shown to work.
So,
and there's some very high-quality dairy herds in Kenya and in South Africa and at one time in Zimbabwe, but I think that's been rather messed up.
Okay. So tell us what that really meant then for the folks on the ground when you actually sent them to Uganda.
Well, for the women that actually received them, it was a transforming experience. Many of them, for the first time, were able to provide milk for their families. Our initial idea was that it was about improved nutrition. We then quickly discovered that it was about improved livelihood, and people were selling the surplus milk and using the money to educate their children, so that there are now many young people that are the young professionals of Uganda who have been given a university education because of milk that was sold from dairy cows that originated in the UK.
Yeah. Boy, you hear of sending money, you hear of sending letters, you hear of sending aid, and you hear of sending food. You don't often hear of sending a cow, and I just think it's brilliant. Now, you must have kept on doing that for, what, about 10 years until mad cow disease came about in the mid-90s there.
Yeah, that was the end of any exports from the UK, but already by that time we had... We've been involved in various schemes to reinvigorate the AI service. We were working with community breeding schemes. Uganda itself had also started to rehabilitate its dairy herds. So during that period, we discovered that we could buy the cows that we wanted in the country. In the period that we've been sending them in, the whole Ugandan dairy industry had begun to reinvigorate. Mm. And so we also started to work with farmers where the purebred, the high-demand purebred animal was a demand too far. And we started to work with crossbreeding and crossbreds. And so we saw that there were alternative ways of doing the whole process that we were involved in. Mm. I guess as farmers are generally... people of initiative, people that learn from experience and learn quite quickly. And so as we started with a great idea, we started to see how it could evolve into something more specific and more intentional.
Yeah.
And we started to work with one group who had been trained by somebody completely separate to us in organic farming. And when we gave that group crossbreds, we saw the whole farm change, and people were growing vegetables for sale as well as having milk for sale. They were getting involved in tropical fruit production.
Mm-hmm.
And something quite exciting started to happen. So from that moment on, we built organic agricultural training into every project that we got involved in.
Mm. So, David, over that 10 years that you were actually exporting cows out of the UK into Africa, how many did you send before it was closed down?
Oh, we shifted in something over 300.
Yeah.
They were all pregnant, so they all gave birth to a second gift. A lot of the male calves would have been used for breeding, and the females, they obviously went on to produce milk. And we have a principle of everybody who receives a gift passes on the same gift. And so those who received a pregnant female then passed on the female themselves to another family.
Yeah, yeah.
So we obviously saw a lot more than 300 people helped right from the very beginning.
That's brilliant. This is Open House across the nation. We're speaking to David Bragg, who is behind Send a Cow. It's a charity that for a good odd 10 years was actually sending cows from the UK over to Africa, to needy families in Africa. And you've just heard the benefits it was bringing the African families. Now that stopped because of the mad cow disease and the livestock exports were stopped there, but now they're doing it internally. So, David, tell me about the program these days. It's expanded beyond cows and cattle, etc. You're doing a lot of different things for a lot of different people now.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, the charity has effectively become a social transformation charity, working with smallholder farmers, rural people particularly. In Genesis, I believe there's three divine rights established right at the beginning. I mean, the one is the right to make a choice. Whether we make a good one or a bad one is our choice to make. The second one is I believe that God made Adam and Eve equal but different.
Mm-hmm.
And so gender equality is a right. And the third one very much is that it's a right to love and be loved. And poverty takes away all those rights become often unattainable. And by working through social transformation, which comes from improving livelihood and improving choice, we've seen some very significant changes taking place in people's lives. So we work with community groups, often predominantly women, because women are the farmers of most of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And added to that, we give them very significant training in how to manage animals, but also how to improve their crop production and their forage production for the animals and for the family themselves. So it's very much more of a training organization now. And the livestock, where they are needed, because people have none, we then give livestock as almost like a catalyst that makes everything else perform so much better.
Yes. And David, I'm sure that as the farmers, you would have taught the Africans a lot in all of these kinds of things. Has it been reversed in any way? Have you actually learnt some skills from the Africans about the nature of farming?
Yeah, I mean, I must confess that as a dairy farmer in the UK, I mean, I farmed about 400 acres and 200 dairy cattle and lots of young animals supporting that herd. I didn't believe that the world could feed itself unless it had a chemical agricultural approach. But the one thing I've learned is that many parts of the world can have significantly increased production by using natural resources better. So we call it organic. Organic is a bit of a fancy word and means expensive in the developed world. But in the African context, in the smallholder context, it's very much using the natural resource to far more effective uses. And we've seen people increase their production 3 and 5 times on the same plot of land. And so, yeah, I think we've learned a lot. But the fundamental principles of agriculture remain the same. That with an animal, if you don't look after it properly and use all the principles of looking after animals, it's not productive. And if you don't look after the soil, then that's not productive either. So those principles remain the same. But for me, there was a massive learning curve that took place that broadened my understanding of farming worldwide.
Well, David, it's an amazing work. It started off with a wonderful story, and it's doing some pretty amazing things today as well. Thanks for joining us on Open House.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. That's David Bragg, one of the guys behind Send a Cow. Amazing story, isn't it? They started off in 1987 sending pregnant cows from the UK to Africa to needy families there. They sent 300 pregnant cows over that 10 years, and that's totally transformed all of those families. Today, they've actually touched something like 100,000 people in 13,000 households. Sendacow.org is the website address, sendacow.org. There's also a special link there for Australians who are interested in the work too. Sendacow.org. Beautiful story.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.